Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here in this room and watching us live online and whoever will watch this on a tape delay basis. And Father God, we just thank you right now that as we go to minister your word, we thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, we thank you that each and every person's lives will be changed. And we thank you to help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you that word will penetrate and saturate our hearts and our lives. And Father God, we just thank you. We won't be selfish with that word. But Father God, we'll take that word and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and we'll find people that are down and out and need you. And we'll be able to share that gospel with a lost and a dying and hurting world. Father, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, today as we go to minister your word, we thank you, Father, that we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own might. We come not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and helps us to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for that anointing that's here tonight or today. And we thank you, Father, that for everything that you're doing in this service today. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad. I know they're there watching. We thank you for their lives. We thank you, Father, for the things that has gone on and their healing meetings and things. And Father God, we thank you for protection as they go to Israel and protection for the team that's flying over there as well. We thank you, Father, that they'll have a wonderful anointed trip. And we just thank you, Father, for protection there, protection back. Everything will go as planned. The airplane will work fine. Everything will be awesome. And we just thank you for it. We thank you, Father, for everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. Eighth chapter of Romans. And I don't know how everybody else gets their messages and does their stuff. I'm a little different than everybody else. And my stuff always comes from things happen in my own life, my own experiences and things. And, you know, I had a situation this week where actually the Lord checked me on a statement I said because I shouldn't have said it. And, you know, nothing wrong, nothing bad, but it was just some. My wife had actually texted me the other day about one of our evangelist friends was at a meeting, and as he was preaching, they had some protesters came and really kind of doing some things were probably even on the verge of being demonic and all kinds of other stuff. And, you know, first thing I said was, I don't know what I would do if that happened, you know. And actually, I still don't know what he ended up doing because I never got a text telling me what concluded. I don't know. But anyway, so I let that go. And a couple of days later, I asked my wife, I said, well, what happened? She goes, I don't know. And then I said again, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. And immediately the Lord checked me and said, aren't you a son of God? You know, we all know the scripture, Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 says, as for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God or the daughters of God, the children of God. You know, if we're the Son of God, then the Lord will lead us and guide us in what we need to do. The problem is I was trying to figure out what I would do in the situation. And you have to quit trying to figure out what you're going to do and figure out how you're going to let God help you through your situation. Now, you know, my wife said something, and what she said was true. She said, well, after that, I said, you know, I began to say, well, I would know what to do after the Lord checked me. And my wife said, yeah, that's right, because, you know, when you're preaching, you're under the anointing. And, you know, and that is true. Nothing wrong, you know, you are. But you realize that no matter whether you're preaching or not, you still have the anointing. And so sometimes we forget, you know, or maybe, I don't know, maybe we think only a minister has the anointing, just because maybe we see a greater anointing when he's ministering. But, you know, actually a few verses up in verse 11 here, it says, but if the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. So, you know, it says that the same spirit of God that was with Jesus, that raised him from the dead, also dwells with us. It doesn't say dwells with us when we're on the pulpit, or dwells with us after we had a long time of prayer or fasting, or after we gave a big offering. You know, it doesn't say it dwells with us if we feel like it dwells with us. You know, I understand we're natural people, and we're emotional. We go by feelings. You know, we show forth love to, you know, to people that we care about. You know, the way we show forth love is, you know, either embracing them or naturally, you know, sometimes it's giving money or gifts and things like that. You know, and we're all about feelings. I mean, we've all experienced love, you know, growing up and, you know, and all kind, you know, love and hate and rudeness, and it's all feelings. But you know what? The Lord's not based on feelings. And whether you feel like it or not, that same Spirit's with you. The Spirit of God leads you and he guides you. And the problem is that when we face our day-to-day life and we're going through stuff, we get to situations and we start saying, I don't know what to do. Or I don't know how I... And the problem is, quit saying I don't. It's not about you. It's not about what you know, because if it's about what you know, all you would get, you know, is your own natural knowledge. You know, I believe in education. I believe that we should be educated as highly educated. But I also believe in common sense as well, by the way. You know, but sometimes you have to forget about your education and trust in your God. Because there's situations you'll face, and I don't care how highly educated you are, or I don't care if you went to the School of Hard Knocks, you don't have an answer. You don't have an answer. Maybe you've never been faced with this situation. Now, I was watching it's actually a stupid show, but anyway, but it came on after watching Oklahoma City lose last night, which was kind of a downer. But, you know, I got to give it to Golden State. They actually played a really good game. At least a couple of them did. Anyway, but afterwards they had some new show, some new show, and what it turned out that, you know, it was a kind of a spoof on the show Lost. But these guys are really lost. Anyway, but so it was a plane crash that crashed and an island somewhere, and it was a comedy. And so they, there was a lot of survivors of the plane crash, which that's kind of a miracle anyway. And so one of the flight attendant guys, he survived, and they said, well, you know, what do we do now? Didn't you guys have flight training for this? He's like, no. You know, they didn't teach flight attendants what to do after a plane crashed on an island. I mean, that's just kind of not normal. You know, that's, sometimes we don't know what to do. No matter how much training we have, there's no training that's going to help us. But you know what? The Spirit of God can help you. He can help you. And all we got to do is ask him. Now, you know, a lot of times, and I do know a lot of times in the Bible when it says ask, it's really meaning to pray. But a lot of times we think the only way we ask is if we pray. So if we pray, you know, you don't want to pray short, so you got to have a long time of prayer. So if you really want to answer, it has to take a while. And I know the Bible never says that, but that's what we think in our own mind. I mean, let's turn to James chapter 1. James 1, one of my favorite, I have lots of favorite verses, I guess, so I can't really say one of my favorites, but it is one that I do preach from a lot. James 1, it says, James 1, 2, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm going to skip down to verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. First of all, it says, count it all joy when you face terrible times. Or basically, in modern-day language, don't worry, be happy. You know what? When things don't go right, don't get upset. Laugh about it. I mean, that's just good stuff right there. It might be a good Craig, but that wasn't me. That was James. You know, James said that a long time ago. You know, and sometimes you just need to laugh to keep from crying. So, you know, like I said, it's not going to be joyful. You act like it's joyful. But notice, it says, but if you need wisdom, ask. Now, we think that we have to get on our hands and knees and say, you know, Lord, grant me wisdom. Help me, you know. Wait, we got to give an offering first. You know, because that's what we kind of think. You know, because God, why would God want to do something for us without us doing something, you know, first? And that's not true. God's not like you. You know, I kind of get mad when people always say, well, what's in it for me? And it's not that I get mad, you know, and I understand, you know, that a lot of people have, you know, a lot of things, you know, their own agenda or whatever. But when they say, what's in it for me, that kind of sounds like you're just flat out selfish. And especially, you know, I can take it whenever, you know, maybe some businessman that's, I'm going to say, I don't know whether they're Christian or not, or maybe halfway Christian, or I'm halfway sure they're not a Christian or whatever. But when I see a spirit-filled, blood-washed Christian saying, what's in it for me? I'm thinking, have you ever read the Bible? Has Jesus ever said, well, what's in it for me? I know you're sick, but, you know, what's in it for me? I got all these disciples to feed, you know. And you think you have a lot of problems. I got all these guys to feed, and they're a bunch of, they eat a lot. You make a lot of money, so, you know. No, Jesus is never like that. Wonder about what's in it for me. And that's not, you know, it says if you lack wisdom, just ask. It doesn't say to pray. It says ask. Now, I believe that it's probably also talking about prayer, but sometimes we don't have time to pray. What about when you face a situation? I mean, and I've been there. I'm sure some of you have been there too. When you go into a hospital room and someone has just given, you know, a diagnosis that they've been given only a few weeks to live, what do you say? Or, you know, you're with someone, you found out that, you know, that one of their relatives, you know, just died, or whatever. What do you say? How do you comfort them during that time? What do you do? You know, when someone tragedy happens, and obviously, if it's something that's happened to you before, you know, you personally, you might understand how they feel, but a lot of times you don't know how they really feel. You might think how you think that they might feel, but you don't know. Because the only thing you have to relate is not as big a deal as what they're going through. And then every person's different. Every person deals with tragedy differently. And so, you know, the Lord will have to lead you and guide you to minister differently to different people and to say the right words at the right time to bring forth comfort. But first of all, the same Holy Spirit that's with us is with them. You know, our comforter comes in. But he leads us, he guides us, he shows us the way. And so, you know, there's so many times in the world that we need wisdom. Wisdom on decisions, wisdom on what to do. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some times that, you know, I'm not saying we need to make every decision ultimately to ask God, you know, 1 second and go. But, you know, because there are times whenever, you might pray about a situation. If there's time to pray, you pray. If there's not, you have to make a split-second decision, and you ask God for instant wisdom. I don't know how many times that I've been pulling up to a hospital or whatever, and I ask God to give me wisdom in this situation, or pull it up to even a business meeting or whatever. You know, that has wisdom. That's pretty wise. You know, but how many times do we not do that? Or how many times do you pull up in a situation all worried about what you're going to say? Or what you're going to do? And the deal is, you got to quit worrying about what you're going to do and quit thinking about you and understand it's not about you. Because you know what? The Bible says that being a Christian, our life is not even our own. We were bought with a price. So quit worrying about you and worry about him. Amen. You know, and that's one thing my grandfather always did. He would always say, well, he would always put the pressure on God. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, it says here, it's very specific. Whenever you ask for wisdom or whenever you speak, you ask in faith, you ask believing, knowing that God will grant you that wisdom. You don't be wishy-washy, well, I don't know, it might work, it might not. You know, it's not about that. Now, I like the New Living Translation here. You know, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. An opportunity. You know, I know my grandfather was always talking about whenever they're facing, when he was facing stuff in his life, you know, and especially financial things as well, he would say, well, it's another opportunity. This to show how good my God is. Another opportunity. I understand that sometimes, you know, we hear the saying opportunity knocks. Sometimes it knocks every day. But you know what? It's an opportunity to show that your God shines. It's not about you. Not about you shining. All you got to do is ask for wisdom. All you got to do is ask him to lead you and to guide you. It's not about you figuring things out. And that's the problem. Too many Christians are trying to figure out too many things. And when you're figuring out with your own mind. Now, if you want to figure out something, go to the Bible. Now, you can figure out stuff that way. That's what my grandfather always said. What does the word say? He always would use these words. I'm a stickler for the word. I don't know why you use the word stickler. Not even ever looked up in the dictionary, but he always said, I'm a stickler for the word. God says that I believe and that settles it. What does the word say about it? So, if you're trying to look, go to the word. But you know, sometimes you don't have time to open your Bible. Sometimes you don't have time. You've got to make a split-second decision. What are you going to do? In this situation here's the guy. I don't know how many people were there at the meeting, but you know, you're in control. Now, obviously, the Lord's going to take care of that situation. He's going to help you. But just because you're preaching doesn't mean that that's the only time that God's going to give you wisdom and knowledge and, you know, knowing what to do. Maybe it's the only time you might ask. I don't know. You know, really, that's your problem. It's your problem that you're in the middle of a problem, don't know what to do. I mean, we should never get a situation where we're like, I don't know what to do. You know, usually you're not saying, I don't want, you're usually crying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I can't handle it. You know, and that's when you have to give it up and give it to God. Now, I don't think acting like that is really counting things all joy. You know, being depressed about a situation is not counting things all joy. I think about that, that's why I don't get depressed. You realize you can't be depressed and have joy at the same time? I don't know. I've never heard of depressed joy myself, but now I've heard of pressed down, shaken together, and running over joy, but not depressed joy. Now, I might have heard you need to depress the joy button in your life. or something like that. But, you know, the thing about it is, the only reason we get depressed is we don't know our God. Or we don't call upon him. Or we don't ask him. Or we're trying to figure out ourselves. You know, you can only do so much. You only have so much wisdom. And, you know, I know a lot of times we're like, well, but it seems impossible. That's why you turn to God, because he's the only one that can make the impossible possible. When things seem impossible, ask the Lord. It goes on here in James 1, verse 5, says, if you need wisdom, ask, I love this, ask our generous God. Not just our God, our generous God. You know, the one that's not saying, well, what's in it for me? Our God, you know, is saying, you know what? I want to pour out blessings to you. I want to pour out wisdom, knowledge, blessings. You know, I want to pour out more than enough. He's a generous God. You know, sometimes we look at, read some things and we think, well, our God's a mean God. He's not a mean God. He's a generous God. He's a generous God, and he loves you. You know, and you know, all you got to do is ask. It goes on to say this. Ask our generous God, and he will. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say he'll pray about it. It says he will give it to you. Now, if you can't trust God, I don't know who can. Because, you know, I've heard people, whenever they've asked for things, and then they're on the down the dump still, so obviously they don't think that God will. Because if they thought God will or God did, they'd be pretty happy about that. Well, is God not a person of his word? I understand he's not really a person, but isn't God's word true? Amen. Well, it's only true if we believe God's word. Do you realize that? Amen. God's word only works for us if we believe. That's why the Bible says, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Also, it means nothing is possible if you don't believe. Everything works by your belief. Now, it goes on. That's what it's saying right here. It says, but when you ask him, back up, this is important. It says, ask our generous God, he will give it to you. Then it says, he will not rebuke you for asking. There's no dumb questions. He's not going to say, why are you asking me? He's going to say, you know what? I wanted you to ask. I've been waiting for you to ask. Thank God you asked. Just ask me. If you need something, ask for it. All you got to do is ask. Then it says, but when you ask him, when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Put your faith in God. It's Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. It's on your money. In God we trust. When you ask, you believe. Simply that simple. Your faith is only in God, not in your knowledge, not in somebody else's knowledge. It's only in God. It's in God we trust. All right? It says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. So you know what? Decide to believe. When it says only believe, it means quit doubting. Because some people believe one day, doubt the next. Believe the next, doubt the next. Then believe, doubt, believe, doubt, believe, doubt. Those are people on spiritual seesaws. Some of you know what a seesaw is, because I don't even know if they have those on the playgrounds anymore. It's when one guy's on this side, one guy's on that side, and they're going up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, back and forth, back and forth. It's not about back and forth. It's about God says it, I believe, and that settles it. Right. There is no more questions. Right. Now, we know that faith is unquestioning belief, and when you ask questions, you're not in faith. There is no questions. Faith is now. Now faith is. See, there's so many verses that actually come in line if we just know them. Of course, my grandfather also says the number one reason why people don't get their needs met is they don't know the word. The Bible also says that how shall they hear without a preacher? Maybe it's your fault. You're not preaching the word. And you're like, well, I'm not a preacher. I just go to church. Yeah, but you know the word. I mean, preaching is not behind a pulpit, folks. Preaching is talking on the phone to one of your friends. Preaching is talking to someone at work. Preaching is talking on social media to people. You know, you can tell by people's statuses they're going through a tough time. Sometimes, you know, I just reach out and don't reach out literally, but, you know, send them a message. And say, I don't know what you're going through because, you know, you're kind of cryptic, but you know what? I just want to know that when you know that God loves you. He cares about your situation. He's there for you. You know, and open the door. But see, we think, well, I'm not a preacher. Why not? If you know the word, someone needs the word, why wouldn't you want to share the word with someone who needs it? Well, because you're selfish. And it's true. A lot of times we are selfish because, you know, we want us to know more. Or we're oblivious. A lot of times we're not just selfish, we're just oblivious. We're not paying attention to everybody else's, you know, problems and stuff because we're going through so much stuff on our own. First of all, the reason you're going through your own problems is because you're letting that problem saturate your own life. Instead of letting God take care of your problems. And you even know the verse, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But quoting the verse does not mean anything. And I don't care, you can do actions, you know. But see, this is what you're really doing. You're not gathering up the spoils, you're gathering back up your cares. Most people, you know, they say actions are louder than words. We say stuff all the time. You know, but if the Lord's really checked me a lot of times our confessions have become habits. And not really, they're not confessions. They weren't confessions at one time, but now they become habits. And I point out, I'm sure many times that, you know, when someone sees us, we say, bless you or God bless you. We're not trying to bless these people. We're just saying it because they sneeze, and that's a polite thing to say. That's really not a confession. It's a habit. And people do the same thing with scripture verses or whatever. And people do the same, you know, yeah, I'm casting my cares on the Lord. Well, are you really casting your cares just because you're making motions and doing stuff? Casting your cares on the Lord is getting rid of them from yourself. And, you know, casting is one thing, but taking them back is something else. Because if you know, people come to church, they come to the altar. I mean, I've been there, man. They come to the altar, we're all, you know, crying, boo-hooing and stuff, and they're bringing their cares and leaving them all here. And they're all here for 15, 20 minutes. Maybe a little longer. You know, they go to eat. They're all happy because everyone goes to eat after church because it's always a big thing to do, especially if you don't have any more cares. And then you get home, and all of a sudden, ding-dong, the cares are, they come on in too. They follow you home. Maybe they went to your house while you were eating. Because once you get home, you start looking through your bills and looking through the stuff, and boom, these cares pop back up. And you never say, well, no, I cast these cares right there on the altar. Then you start getting depressed about them. Then you start saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? You didn't cast anything. You just had a boo-hoo time and felt better emotionally. It was all an emotional situation. But you know what? When you cast your cares on God, you say, you know, God, I don't know what to do. So here, it's like hot potato. I don't want to hold it anymore. I don't want to hold it anymore. Don't pass it back. And if you do, I'm going to give it back to you. You know, maybe we should change the verse. Don't keep your cares. Cast them and get rid of them. you know, just let God. I always say let go and let God. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament over Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. We all know this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, there's nothing here about praying. There's nothing there about you're more anointed or less anointed. He says, when you trust in him, he's going to direct your path. That means he's going to tell you what to do. He's going to help you in a situation you don't know how to handle. You know, he's going to help you. Over in the 37th Psalm, it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God, or a godly man. So you know what? If you trust in God, he is going to lead you and guide you. But let me say this, because some people, they mess up on this situation. If God's leading you and guiding you, if God's going to be a good guide, you know, a good guide, that means if you start going off track, he's going to push you back on track, or he's going to nudge you and tell you to go back on track. Now, you have a choice whether you go off track or not, but he's going to nudge you, because some people think, well, if I got checked, you know, that wasn't from God. Why wasn't it? Why wasn't it from God? Spirit of God will check us when we start going wrong. I mean, you know, if I'm walking with my eyes closed, I'm fixed to walk off to the stage, hopefully at some point in time, you're going to tell me, stop walking. Or I'm going to fall over and go boom, and my face is going to plant on the wall. And that's great because it's on video. So we might make $10,000, America's Funniest Home Video, you know, so that might be good. But then I also might break my nose. You know, hopefully you're going to say, stop. Now, just because you say stop, I can still keep walking. Now, unless someone's going to come over here and physically, well, you know, hold me, which I'm not sure any of you probably could, unless you get on stage before I walk off, then you could. Or going to catch me or let me land on you. You know, and just physically, I mean, it'd be hard. Just, you know, I'm higher than most of you. Not that I'm high and lifted up or anything. I'm just on stage. But, you know, he's going to stop you. You know, and I've heard story after story of people really not even close to God going the wrong way, and God checked them. And it always seems, maybe, I don't know that there's a number, but it seems like, you know, when I've heard stories of later on how sometimes stories end that they end up not making it. And they were like, you know, you hear, well, they just didn't want to go. You know, I heard someone that died in the Murrow building there, Oklahoma City, because it had to go check on his Social Security, and his wife said all morning, like, he didn't want to go, but he went anyway because he said he needed that money. He died. You know, but I've heard people that have had tragic things happen to them, but they lived, and they said, the Lord checked me three times. I don't know if there's a magic number, it has to be three. But I believe the Lord will check us multiple times and tell us not to go. But he can only lead so far. He's not going to make you do something. Right. You know, and so how many times have we overrode the leading? I've done it. We've all done it. We knew we shouldn't be there, but we did it anyway because it was fun or because we wanted to or whatever. But man, you know, we're living in a day and age that you need to follow that leading. You know, I always tell everyone, If I feel I shouldn't get on an airplane, even though I just had too much pizza the night before or whatever, maybe it wasn't God. If I feel I'm not going to be supposed to get on an airplane, I'm not getting on the airplane. I don't care who's flying the airplane. I you know, if I feel weird about getting on an airplane, I'll miss a meeting over you know, taking a chance. Why my life is worth more? Well, what if I was wrong? Okay. It cost me change fees or something like that, or it cost me a missed meeting. I was wrong. You know what? But live until you tell another day. You know, I tell my son all the time, you fall on the racetrack and you feel really weird about that something's going to happen, pull off. Well, you can't win the race. You can't get points. So I don't care. Man, you got a weird feeling? Don't squash that. Now, you might be wrong sometimes. I understand that. Sometimes we miss it. We all miss it. But you know what? The Lord wants to lead us and guide us. And he does. We have to trust God. You know, and in those times like that, whenever you're making a split-second decision, do I get on, do I get off? I don't have time to pray about it. I don't have time, but I'm going off of you know, what I know. I mean, I feel a leading. You know? But remember, also the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will, and it shall be done. Now, we also think that's asking in the prayer, and I believe it is, but sometimes we don't have time to pray. What do you want? You know, I'm going to read you a couple of examples of that. Mark chapter 10. Everyone knows Mark chapter 10. That's the story about blind Bart, or blind Bartimaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard Jesus was coming through his town, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You remember the story? When people told him to be quiet, he began to get louder. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," or "Jesus, help me." All of a sudden, Jesus stopped where he was actually walking through, and he stopped and he commanded Bart to come down there. So Bart came down. The magic moment, here's Bart right in front of Jesus. Right in front of Jesus. And verse 51 of Mark chapter 10 said, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" He asked him, "What do you want?" Now, most of us say it's pretty obvious Bart can't see, because everyone could tell he couldn't see. But the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." And then Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Immediately he received sight and followed Jesus on the road. But you know what? When he asked, he must have asked in faith, because it says, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, this was a healing situation, but you know, maybe you need that. But same way when you need wisdom, same way when you need direction, ask in faith. That's all this guy did. That's all Bart did. He said, "What do you want?" Bart said, "I want to see." Notice in this situation, Jesus never touched the blind man. He didn't make any clay on the spittle. He didn't spit in the guy's eyes. He didn't tell him to go wash in any kind of pool. And I'm saying that because we've seen other times when that's how he ministered to blind people. And sometimes we get caught up on, that's how you minister to blind people. Bless God, if I find some blind man, I'm going to spit in his eyes. And I'm going to tell him to go over across the street and student house and wash in that pool 7 times. See, we make a doctrine out of stuff. But the whole point was, it was the faith. It was the faith that unlocked the power. So whenever Bart asked, he wanted to see, he said, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Because he believed. Only believe. All things are possible to him or her that believeth. Another thing over in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Sorry, Matthew, the 9th chapter. Similar thing happened. It says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe I'm able to do this?'" So he asked him a question, "Do you believe?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes. So this time he actually touched their eyes. But he didn't say, "Be healed." It said, "According to your faith, let it be done unto you." And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned him, saying, "See that no one knows it." I don't know why he did that. But anyway, the point is, it says, "According to your faith." Meaning if one person had faith, they might receive, and the other one might not. Now, here's the point. Whenever we're going through a situation we don't know what to do, it's all according to your faith. Do you believe or do you not believe that the Lord will lead you? The Lord will guide you. The Lord will give you direction. The Lord will give you wisdom. Because really, it's up to you. It's according to you. Do you believe it? Now, we have scripture that tells us that, but do you believe? Do you believe it's only when you're supernaturally anointed? Or do you believe that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you all the time, whether you feel it or not? And all you have to do is call upon him with your faith and say, you know what, God, I need help. It's not about what would I do. It's about what are you going to do for me through this? This is what I will. This is what I need. You know, and it's not about, some people think, well, it's only if you need it, you can get it. No, it's whatever you want. Whatsoever things that you desire. What do you desire? What do you want? You need wisdom. You need knowledge. You need understanding. You need to, you know, and quit trying to figure things out on your own and just ask God. Ask God. Let God. Let go. Move forward. And remember, we have a generous God. A generous God that won't rebuke us for dumb questions. Won't rebuke us for, you know, asking. I don't care how many times you've asked. Doesn't matter. He's still with you, for you, at all times. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we just thank you for helping them remember this sermon, not during the good times, when they're faced with a situation they don't know what to do. When they're at a place when depression starts seeking in or whatever, they're going through stuff that's emotionally draining or taking or they don't have an answer for. We thank you, Father, that they'll remember this sermon during that time, and they'll remember, you know what? I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And if I'm a son of God or daughter of God, he's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's going to show me the way. All I got to do is ask him. All I got to do is, and I can have great joy. It doesn't matter what's going on. Forget about what I'm going to try to do and just turn that over to you. Let you do it for me. Let you lead me. Let you guide. And I'm just going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you because you've sent us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to show us the way. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here today. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're here in this room and you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, you're not a child of God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I grew up in this. I knew Jesus, but I've turned my back and I went away. And today I want to rededicate my life. I want to rededicate my life. So if that's you, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you want to rededicate your life, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God today. You want to make him the God of your life today. Or maybe here this morning and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I know I'm on the way to heaven, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. I've heard him talk about it, but I just didn't really understand it. I'm here to tell you, if you haven't got that experience, it's a good one. You need to get that. If that's here, if you're today, you've never been filled with the Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Across the auditorium, there's a hand over there. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? We have one hand lifted up. Anybody else? You know, sometimes it's hard to be the first one. Sometimes you don't want to be the first one because you're ashamed. But you know what? Don't be ashamed. God loves you. He loves you. And I know he's talking to people right now. Some of you, I know you need to ready to dedicate your life. You're not where you need to be. You need to come home and make him the Lord of your life again. Or some of you here, you've gone a long time. You've never been filled with the Spirit and you've heard about it and you wanted it, but you never did. Actually, let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. If you lift in your hand for prayer, or you should have lifted your hand, I want you to come down here. If you lift your hand, or you should have lifted your hand. No matter what, if you did or you didn't, so come on down here. Come on down here. If you lifted your hand for prayer, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed.
Come as you are.
Don't be embarrassed. Oh, I know we had at least one hand.
Really does.
Amen.
Matter. Near or how far, Jesus is waiting.
Anybody else going to join this young man?
Open arms,
you know,
so come,
it takes a lot of bravery to come down here a long way down. If anybody else, come on down.
Come as you are. Come as you are. It really doesn't matter.
Really doesn't matter.
God bless you.
How near or how far.
Jesus is waiting.
Jesus is waiting.
With open arms.
So come. Just as you are.
Amen. Receiving stuff from God is just like receiving gifts. That's why I want to give you these books. How would you get them? Just reach out and take them. They're yours. And we'll talk about those back there. You know, giving gifts, I always think about Christmas. You like Christmas? You know, Christmas is always a good time. And I like Christmas as a little kid. I mean, I like Christmas now, too. You know, I probably still have a little. I'm a big kid. I guess I'm not really too little anymore. But Christmas time, you know, your parents put presents on the tree and your name's on them. You ever had that? You know, presents with your name already. You know, what's your name?
Chris.
Like two Chris for mom and dad. You know, and they used to put them on the tree early. And as a kid, we used to shake the boxes, or we knew what size boxes things were. We kind of figure out what the things were. But we had to wait till Christmas Day or whatever day your family opens gifts before they become a reality of your life. Well, today's like Christmas Day. You're going to open the gifts that belong to you for a long time. Your name's been on it. Belongs to you. God's saying, Chris, I have so many things I want to give you. Under the tree, just take it. Amen. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray with you right here, and they're going to take you back and pray with you more, and they're going to make sure that you understand what you got, talk about the books that we gave you, talk about more things, tell you about a class that we have here that will tell you more about your Christian walk and things like that. Amen. Look at me in your hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for his life. Father God, we thank you right now. I don't care what he's done. I don't care what he's been, but we thank you right now that you're changing him. We thank you, Father, that you're setting him free. We thank you, Father, that today is his Christmas day. It's life-changing. And Father God, we thank you for the plan that you have for Chris's life. And we thank you that he'll fulfill that plan. And we thank you, Father, that he'll go out and great things will happen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Chris, this is Greg right here. Just go with him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to stay down here because no reason to get back up there to come back down, you know. Let's just stretch our hands out toward Chris. Father God, we just thank you for Chris once again. We just thank you. Thank you, Father, for boldness to be able to step forth and come down here. And Father God, we just thank you that after today, Chris will no longer be the same. We just give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Always a special time when someone changes their life. You know, sometimes we don't really think about it a lot. We think about where we're going to go eat. And, you know, but, you know, it's not about where we're eating. It's about someone's life being changed. Amen. So it was only one person. I mean, you know, obviously all calls are, don't matter. I mean, you know what? One person is worth it all. If I spoke every sermon for one person, that would be amazing. Because, you know, we don't know what Chris might do the rest of his life. He might go out today and, you know, and three more people might get saved. Just because Chris's life will change today. Amen? You never know. Amen? Well, praise God. Continue to pray for Dad and Mom. You know, they're there. I mean, you know, they're going to Israel. And they're going to have a wonderful time. And also, we have a whole team of people that are going to go on a tour. And they're going to see some wonderful things there. But you know what? It's still the Middle East. It's still kind of, you know, it's from the natural standpoint, it's not the best place to go this time of in this present season. And we have to be led. We have to be led. Amen. And we just pray for protection and pray everything goes okay and everything. Amen. Not being fear, but you know, being led is also not being in fear. A lot of times we're led by fear or led by emotion. We'd be led by the Spirit, the Bible says. Amen. Well, praise God. Also tonight, 6 p.m. right here, if you're in Oklahoma City, I'll be there tonight in Oklahoma City ministering to you guys tonight. And of course, Wednesday night, we have Hour of Power right here. If you're a first-time visitors, we have the connection team there in the aisle. They want to take you to a special place and they have a gift for you. We thank you for coming today. Like I said, you weren't able to see the pastor, my dad and my mom, but he'd love to meet you. So hopefully if you're from this area, come on back and join us. If you're not from this area, every time you come back to Tulsa, come on to church here. Amen. Well, it's on the screen where the it's on my screen where the pastor's going to be. I'm going to be in the west door. Barbara's going to be at the east door. Anyway, but you can look on your screen. You know how we dismiss around here? Rich is going to sing a song and dismiss you. Amen. Just remember, you know, today brought a whole new meaning to the word being led. All right? You know, just be led doesn't mean I got to go pray about it. It means I'm going to let God do something about it. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.